reading this evening is taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen.
A little boy had visited at another congregation and been present for a worship service. And his mother was asking him questions about what had gone on. As he was telling her about the things that had happened, he said, "There was one song that I especially liked." And she said, "What was it?" And he said, "That song, Trust and Okay." You know, when I read that, I thought, maybe he hit the nail on the head more than we think. Trust and okay. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon thine own understanding was one of the verses just read. Blessed is he that puts his trust in him is the last verse of the second psalm. I'm pretty sure that all of us are in about the same boat on this question, some more than others. I struggle constantly with this concept of trust. There's probably never a lesson that I prepare that has to do with characteristics and qualities of life, but that I need it just as much as you, and probably this one more so than some of you. I believe God will take care of everything, but sometimes I wish he'd hurry up just a little bit. I'm not for sure that my patience is what it ought to be and that my trust in him is what it ought to be. And yet I know the teaching of the Bible just as well as you do, but I think we need to be reminded that if we will trust in the Lord, everything will be okay. That's why I say I think the little boy hit the nail on the head when he said, trust and okay. I just want to lead our minds tonight as we sort of go back to the Old Testament and then into the New and look at some situations where we see this idea. You remember Romans 15:4 says, the things written aforetime were written for our learning. And usually when we preachers use that as a text, we use it to go back and show how God dealt with man and how he means what he says and how he gave direct commandments and how when he specifies something, he means that. But we need, I think, to quote the rest of Romans 15:4. The things written for aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now certainly the teaching is there that we learn how God deals with man, and we learn when he specifies something he means it, and when he tells us not to do something he means that. We have all those examples in the Old Testament, and there are other passages that are even stronger than Romans 15:4 that indicate that. But have you stopped to think about how through patience and comfort of the scriptures we have hope? When we go back to some of these Old Testament examples like we will tonight, and we see some of the temptations that were faced and some of the challenges that were faced and met by people back at that time, I believe it will help us to increase our trust in the Lord and really believe that everything will be okay. Go with me back to the time of Noah, Genesis 6. God told Noah to build an ark. At least at Genesis 2, the indication is that it had not rained at that time, that God took care of the moisture for the plants and things with a type of mist that went up from the earth. And it's very probable, though I don't know that we could prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt, very probable that it had not rained at the time that God told Noah to build an ark. Can't you just imagine the fun that was made of him and the ridicule that was given in his direction as he went about building an ark? And yet the latter part of verse 6, I believe it's the last verse, says, whatever God said, that's what Noah did. According to the way that God commanded him, thus did Noah. Here he is building an ark on dry land. Maybe has never seen rain, certainly has never seen anything like what God tells him is coming. And he and his family are the only ones that put any trust in what God is saying, seemingly. And yet he believed God to the extent that it says that he did everything just like God told him to. And there is a great lesson there that we use many times in helping us to understand why we do certain things today, that God told him what to do and specified what to do. But sometimes if we're not careful, we may get to thinking about those points so much that we forget the trust that Noah had in God. No wonder he's listed in that hall of fame in that faith chapter of Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his household. He trusted in God when practically everybody else was going in the opposite direction, and it came out okay. It didn't look as if it were going to, but because he trusted in God, everything was okay. Wander on over with me into the book of Genesis a little bit further, this time to about Genesis 22, and look at Abraham. And there are so many examples in the life of Abraham that could be used to point out what we're talking about tonight, but I want to use the one where he was told to go and offer his son Isaac as an offering to God. You have to stop and think about the circumstances to really see what's taking place here. Remember, Isaac was born to Abraham when he was older. In fact, when he was so old that even Sarah laughed at the idea that they could have a son at that time. And Isaac was even promised. And when he came, Abraham was told, "This is the son that I'm talking about. This is the one through whom all nations of the earth are going to be blessed. This is the son of promise." And now God says, "Abraham, I want you to take that son, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. I literally want you to kill him and offer him up in that sense to God." It's interesting to read the conversation between Abraham and his son as they're going toward that mountain. Son says, "Here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the lamb?" And as you read there in Genesis 22, Abraham says, "God will provide." Couldn't you sort of translate that statement another way and it be exactly the same thing? Son, trust in the Lord and everything will be okay. God will provide. Hebrews 11 again sheds a little light on the subject when it's talking about Abraham there and the faith that he had. And it says that Abraham believed that God would be able to bring this son back from the dead, even if he went ahead and killed him. He had enough faith in God, and this was one of the things that he even believed about it, that God could bring Isaac back from the dead. He just knew that if he would trust in the Lord. And seemingly his trust was such that he didn't even ask God some questions about it. I can just imagine myself and some of you if God had said that. "Now, God, wait a minute. What do you mean by this? Didn't you tell me thus and so about it? Don't you have plans? What do you mean about this?" Abraham seemingly didn't even ask God a question. He just trusted in God enough to believe that everything would be okay. Come on over in your mind to the book of Job. And I think I do not need to take the time to describe to you the kind of temptations and sufferings and all of that that happened to Job. You know how he suffered. You know the things that were taken away from him. And yet in the very first chapter, in the latter part of verse 21 and in verse 22, he says, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Even when he lost his family, when his wife encouraged him to curse God and die, when his friends, in a sense, turned against him, the Bible says that Job just simply said, "I'll trust in God and it will be okay." God gave, God took away and takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all of this, all of the suffering that he did, and remember, God let the devil take everything from Job except his life, except the breath of life. He let him tempt him to that point and persecute him to that point. Job didn't understand. In fact, sometimes Job would raise questions of why did this happen? Wouldn't it have been better for me never to have been born, just to have gone on to the grave from the womb? Job certainly didn't understand a lot of these things. And even in his conversation with God, it doesn't seem that he came to a complete understanding of why this was happening. But his faith and his trust in God was so great that not one time did he say anything negative about the Father in heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He knows what he's doing. Job was saying, in a sense, I'll trust him and everything will be all right. I want to switch in the next example to a woman. A woman that we refer to as a Shunammite woman, listed and talked about over in 2 Kings chapter 4. You remember God blessed her with a son. As you read that chapter, you'll see the situation where the son got sick. His father called for the mother, and the son died. And the mother, who had gone to the prophet of God originally to ask for help in having a son, and who wanted a son so much, began to make a trip back. Now remember, the son is dead. The son that had been given to her is dead. But when she meets the representative of God's prophet there in 2 Kings 4, and he asks the question, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy son? Her answer is the answer that has prompted several of the songs in our book. It is well. Now you have to really stop and think about the circumstances to realize what this woman is saying. You can just imagine the mourning of the father. And you can just imagine the grief that she has in her heart because she's lost her son. She knows he's dead. And yet she believes in God enough, and it doesn't go into an explanation of why she believes so much in God or what she believed God would do about the situation, but she believed in God enough to believe that even in the moment of grief and having lost this son in death, somehow or other, everything would be okay. And she could say, it is well. I don't know whether you and I could do that or not. It wouldn't be easy, at least, would it? When we've lost those that we love so much, whom we would like to continue to live on this earth and to have the association and the love and the companionship, and when we know that there is grief among the others that are living that we love, and we're asked, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy son? Do you think we could say it is well? This woman trusted in God, and she believed that somehow or other everything would be okay. Look at two examples in the book of Daniel. Examples that you boys and girls, as well as some of these other examples, know just like you do them. You remember Daniel was cast into the lion's den? And when the king came to see about him, Daniel said, God closed the mouth of the lions. And even the king had been impressed enough with the faith of Daniel before he put him in the den that he said to Daniel, somehow or other, your God's going to take care of this. Even the king, who didn't believe in the God that Daniel did and the way Daniel did, had been impressed with the faith and the trust that Daniel had. And he said, somehow or other, your God's going to take care of this. And when it was over, Daniel said, God shut the mouths of the lions. And the indication is he believed that even before he was cast into the den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a little bit earlier in Daniel, about three chapters earlier, they said to them, if you don't deny the God that you're praying to, if you don't quit this praying to him, we're going to cast you into a fiery furnace. And they said, we can't turn our backs upon the God that we're serving. They trusted God that somehow or other he would take care of the situation. And even though they made it as hot as they could and threw them into the fiery furnace, you remember the story that says there was the appearance of four walking, one representing the Son of Man. In other words, God's presence was there to take care of those three boys when they were in that fiery furnace. Daniel said, in a sense, go ahead and throw me in the den of lions. I'll just trust in the God of heaven. Somehow or other, it'll be okay. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, go ahead. We're not going to turn our backs upon the God in whom we trust. We trust him enough. He'll take care of it some way. You do whatever you have to do. We're going to keep our trust and our dedication in the direction of the God of heaven. We'll trust in him, and somehow or other, everything's going to be okay. Slip with me into the New Testament, and let's look at two examples. In Acts 12, the Apostle Peter was in prison. And he was even chained to guards, but the Bible says that he was sleeping. Now, I don't know how long he'd have been awake. I suppose anybody would sleep under any circumstance if he'd been awake so long, but that's not indicated there. The Bible just simply says he was put in prison. He was between the guards there, and he was sleeping. The indication is that Peter trusted in God enough that he could sleep, even chained to guards. And that's the same chapter where his brethren were together praying. And you remember God performed a miraculous event in this case too, and Peter was released and came into their midst. But I want you to especially notice that word sleeping. It's not easy to sleep when there's a difficult time. Most of us have lost entire nights of sleep because of tragedies and situations that were difficult. I remember the night of the ice storm not long ago. How many of us went to bed with those trees falling and said, it'll be all right, God will take care of it? I stayed up to see how God was going to take care of it. I just didn't have enough trust to go to bed and go to sleep. There have been times when I could not go to sleep. And I suppose all of us have faced that. I remember talking to a friend of mine who's a preacher. In fact, he was at my gospel meeting last week in Cookeville. He was living down in Florida when one of those hurricanes came in. And he said that he got some pieces of plywood and boarded up his windows, did everything that he could do, and went in and went to sleep and awakened when the hurricane was over. Well, in some ways I have a hard time believing that, but he said he did it. But that's the kind of trust that Peter had. He was asleep, even though chained in prison. And then move on over to the 16th chapter of Acts for just a moment, and you have another case in prison. This time it's Paul and Silas. And this is the time that it results in the conversion of the Philippian jailer and those with him. But it says, at midnight, while they were singing and praying, an earthquake took place. How many of us, if we were put in prison tonight, especially knowing we were not guilty, that we did not deserve it, and especially if we were put in because we were trying to live a Christian life and trying to serve God and serve our Savior, and here we are in prison, how many of us would be singing and praying? Praying, perhaps, but how many of us would be singing? I believe Peter, somehow or other, had the idea that if I'll just trust in the Lord, it's all going to be okay. And Paul and Silas knew that if they served God, somehow or other, all things would work out in the right way. You see why I say I think the little boy maybe hit it on the head when he said the song was trust and okay? From time to time, we face some difficult situations. In fact, right now, we have some of our folks that are very, very ill. Some here in our midst and some in other states that are related to some of our families. And maybe sometimes we ask the question why, especially when it's a situation that is so difficult and it looks like that there is a great deal of difficulty ahead. And we've been through these things with many of our families in the last few years. It's easy for us to ask the question why, and it's easy for us not to understand. And there are some things about these situations that we don't understand. But somehow or other, folks, we've got to come to that bottom line. If we'll trust in the Lord, it'll be okay. Maybe it will help us to remember 1 Corinthians 10:13, that with every temptation, God will provide a way. He'll not allow us to be tempted above that we are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. That's sort of saying, if we'll trust in the Lord, somehow or other, it'll be okay. And then there is that 28th verse of Romans 8 that we often quote. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I think the idea there that God will be with us and help us is even strengthened if we drop on down to about verse 31 and read a few verses. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, somehow or other, it's going to be okay. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things in Christ? Somehow or other, it'll be okay. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And then the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he gives a rather long list and says, none of these things. Somehow or other, and I'm not big enough or smart enough to explain how, I don't think any of us is, but somehow or other, the same God who made it okay with Noah and Abraham and Job with the Shunammite woman, who made it okay with Peter and Paul in New Testament times with all the things that they faced, if the God back then is the same God that we serve today, and he is, somehow or other, if we'll trust in the Lord, everything will be okay. I admitted earlier in the lesson tonight that sometimes I have trouble wrestling with my trust. But folks, I don't understand how any of you wrestle when you don't have any trust in God and when you don't have any relationship to him. Sometimes it's hard enough to face the difficulties of life when our faith is strong and when we believe somehow or other God will work these things out. How in the world do you make it another day? How in the world can it ever be okay if you're not in Christ and living for him? That's why we extend his invitation. It isn't a formality. Because we believe that each one of us needs to be in him. If we've not been baptized into him for the remission of sins, that we need to do that. And if there's anything that comes between us and him, sometimes it's hard enough even to be right with Christ and to have the encouragement of one another. Oh, how hard it must be if you're not right with Jesus Christ. But you can, if you trust in him, somehow or other, everything will be okay. If you need to come to him, do it as together we stand and sing.
Abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey.